Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. Now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Welcome to Call to Freedom. Do you know this is almost the last of June? Oh, I just can't believe how it's going so quickly. And I hope you've been enjoying the weather. We actually got rain last night. I could hear it on the roof, and I said, wow, that's strange, because we haven't had rain for a couple months at all. And it was just so nice to have rain last night. Oh, God cares about everything in your life, because he cares so much about you. I want you to know that, whether you're in bed getting ready to go to sleep or whether you're just getting up for the day at 5:30. We have programs at 5:30 a.m., at 2:30 a.m., at 9 o'clock at night. And then the next day, we have a program on KLDC, and that's 1220 on your dial. And you can listen to that at 11 o'clock in the morning. So you have some opportunity besides going to freedomstreet.org, and you can go to resources, click down to radio shows, and I usually post those that afternoon that I have the taping of this show. So I do miss the live. I do. But we know that things change, and we're going into greater times of more people listening on the website. So I'm so grateful that you're understanding, and you're able to go into the website, or at least on your phone, you can actually do that. Let's do the Monday Bible slogan. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I do what it tells me to do. This is my Bible. It has given me new life. It is the Word of God. Oh, it's so wonderful to know that he's with you every day. And I had a little sinus issue this weekend, knowing that God was going to take care of me. I said, okay, Lord, maybe I got a bug somewhere. Well, you know, when you're running around and doing groceries or going to the post office or the bank, and then our bank, we changed from First Bank to PNC. So that's a whole different transition, getting new credit cards and new accounts. And so maybe there was a little stress there. But anyway, I know that God cares for me. As I cast my cares on him, I know that he cares for me. Oh, praise God. You are blessed to dispense, for in him you live and move and have your being. And I just want to remind you that if you have a ballot to vote, you can drop that ballot at your precinct, whichever is closest to you, on the 30th of June. Remember to vote for people that are conservative, that they have issues with loyalty to this country. And I am going to be voting for Barb Kirkmeyer for governor, and also for David Wilson for attorney general. And I have a ballot that's a Republican, so I just check all the other boxes. It's very simple this time. And so I hope that you are also praying about it and going to vote likewise. It's good. Praise God. Conservative commentators and Republican lawmakers have taken to social media to condemn President Trump's newly signed Iran peace deal, denouncing it as a sweeping concession to Tehran and warning that it could reshape U.S. foreign policy for years to come. I'll tell you, if we can handle and stand through Obama's policies, this is nothing at all. I am so grateful for a president. I don't agree with him. With everything. I don't. But when you are for a person who is for the country, for the people of the country, then you know that even though once in a while he may make a mistake, and just like I was, you know, with Darren and also with John, my husband's before me, I didn't agree with every decision they made. But as I went along with that in agreement, I knew that God would bring it about, the best result that would be possible, because I know that Romans 8:28 says all things work together for good. All things for good. I don't understand it, so I don't even want to understand it. I just know God's got it. All things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. So the backlash follows the announcement of a 14-point memorandum of understanding. That's what they're calling this peace deal between the U.S. and Iran that would reopen the Strait of Hormuz and extend a ceasefire for a 60-day negotiation period while the countries discuss the future of Iran's nuclear program. You know, I think sometimes I don't listen to the news very much anymore because I don't really think the U.S. is in charge here. I think they're doing a lot to placate with Iran. And I don't understand that all, but then I'm just a little citizen here. So I'm just going to leave all the big decisions to J.D. Vance and President Trump and Mario and Marco Rubio and some of these other leaders in our country. These left-wing lawmakers don't remember the billions. I'm talking billions that Obama sent over to Iran on planes. We're talking cash, folks. The clearest repeatedly reported figure is that an initial $400 million in cash. I dare say I probably won't ever see $1 million, let alone $400 million going over to our adversary. More broadly, U.S. officials acknowledge the dispute settlement totaled about $1.7 billion, a principal plus interest arbitration settlement tied to a 1970s-era failed arms deal, and that the administration delivered the settlement in cash using non-U.S. currency because of sanctions-related banking restrictions. So Obama went behind the backs of banks and honest corporations and did this thing. You know, so who was placating the enemy? Who was then? You tell me. I don't believe that people are seeing things. They have an issue. We have such a divided country. Oh, my goodness. They have such an issue with a few policies and the personality maybe of a person like Donald Trump. And so they are just hating everything he does, everything. So I'm just looking over and contemplating so many things right now, as I know you probably are, too. And so while the White House has framed the agreement as a breakthrough and a major win for America, critics on the right have branded it a strategic misstep. Senator Bill Cassidy, a Louisiana Republican, wrote on X that it was the worst foreign policy blunder in decades. I don't agree with that. I think Obama's was much worse, in a post that has more than 2.4 million views. Responding to the comments, White House spokeswoman Olivia Wales told Newsweek, following the historic destruction of Iran's military capabilities through the successful Operation Epic Fury, President Trump and his negotiating team have brokered an excellent performance-based memorandum of understanding that advances the interests of the United States by ending the fighting, reopening the Strait of Hormuz to significantly lower energy prices, and forcing Iran to commit to abandon its nuclear ambitions. I don't see any abandoning of nuclear ambitions right now. I don't. So what the president has achieved on the battlefield and at the negotiating table is nothing short of remarkable and will strengthen American security for many years to come. And I am hoping for that. I have a couple scriptures because, folks, we must decide to support our president and be positive about this beautiful country we live in. Peace will come to Israel. I don't know how you feel about it either way, if you're on the side of Israel or on the side of Hamas or Gaza, whatever. Whatever, I pray that you are on the side of Israel, because if you're not on the side of Israel, there you are under a curse, as God said in the Old Testament. God has promised this for his beloved people, and I'm going to give you two scripture references, Zechariah 8:11 and 12. Things have changed, and this is God speaking. Things have changed. I'm on your side. Sowing and harvesting will resume. Vines will grow grapes. Gardens will flourish. Dew and rain will make everything green. We're seeing that. We saw a barren landscape when Israel won the war in the early 70s, late 60s, early 70s. It was barren. And now we're seeing a lush country. Kimberly said, it's so remarkable, Mom. This is a rocky, rocky country, and everything is green. I don't understand it, except I know God's doing it. My survivors will get everything they need and more. You've gotten a reputation as a bad news people, you people of Judah and Israel. But I'm coming to save you. From now on, you're the good news people. Don't be afraid. Keep a firm grip on what I'm doing and listen to what God is doing, world. Here in Isaiah 62, verses 6 through 12. And I guess that's why Isaiah is one of my favorite books in the Old Testament, because he talks so much about prospering Israel. He says, and this is from the New Living Translation, Isaiah 62, verse 6 through 12. O Jerusalem, I have posted watchmen on your walls. They will pray day and night continually. Take no rest, all you who pray to God. Give the Lord no rest until he completes his work, until he makes Jerusalem the pride of the earth. We know that Jerusalem, really, in God's eyes, is the center of the earth. The Lord has sworn to Jerusalem by his own strength, I will never again hand you over to your enemies. Oh, this is so good. Never again will foreign warriors come and take away your grain and new wine, which they did in the Old Testament. You will read, well, where they came over, they destroyed acres and acres and took so much back to their countries and made Israel their habitat. In verse 9 of Isaiah 52, it says, you raised the grain and you will eat it, praising the Lord. Within the courtyards of the temple, you yourselves will drink the wine you have pressed. Oh, this is so good. Go out through the gates, freedom. Go out through the gates. Prepare the highway for my people to return. Smooth out the road. Pull out the boulders. And this is where Kimberly said, Mom, that whole country is rocks. It's just rocks and boulders. God is saying, okay, take care of the boulders. I will help you remove them. Raise a flag for all the nations to see. The Lord has sent this message to every land. Tell the people of Israel, look, your Savior is coming. See, he brings his reward with him as he comes. And they will be called the holy people, the people redeemed by the Lord. And Jerusalem will be known as the desirable place, the city no longer forsaken. We used to sing in the church that I attended in Greeley, Jerusalem is a city not forsaken. Beautiful chorus. So I'm wanting to just give you some assurance that Israel is going to be taken care of, and God will never see that the enemy will come in and invade and destroy them again. We will see in the last days, especially during the tribulation, that the enemy will surround Israel, but God is going to bring such a dynamic victory. Praise God. Our memory verse for this week is Romans 8:11. We're reading through Romans right now. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, and for all of you who have a physical issue, an infirmity, or you need deliverance, this is a scripture you need to memorize. I'm going to start it again. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he does. He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. That's your physical bodies, through his Spirit who dwells in you. And from the Message, this is so good, folks. I dwell on the Word. I love the Word, and I love teaching the Word. Oh, it's just so beautiful to know that there is a message we can totally depend on, in Jesus' name. And so here's from the Message, Romans 8:11 through 17. But if God himself has taken up residence in your life, if you have accepted Jesus as your Savior, God is living in you. I love the fact that when you see a little child and they ask, where's Jesus? And he pats his heart and his chest and he says, Jesus is in my heart. Oh, the innocence of children. Oh, and the precious truth of children. But if God himself has taken up residence in your life, You can hardly be thinking more of yourself than of him. Anyone, of course, who has not welcomed this invisible but clearly present God, the Spirit of Christ, won't know what we're talking about. But for you who welcome him, in whom he dwells, even though you still experience all the limitations of sin, yeah, we are in a fallen world. We have a body who gives in to sin every once in a while. That's why it's important to note that your sin will not send you to hell. It's your rejection of Jesus. But for you who welcome him in whom he dwells, even though you still experience all the limitations of sin, you yourself experience life on God's terms. It stands to reason, and this is verse 11 in the message, doesn't it, that if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, he'll do the same thing in you that he did in Jesus. Now, Jesus was dead in the tomb, and he brought him back to life, and he's bringing you alive to himself. That's right. And if you're feeling down, if you're not able to do anything that you used to do, remember, he is your strength today. When God lives and breathes in you, and he does, as surely as he did in Jesus, you are delivered from that dead life. With his Spirit living in you, your body will be alive as Christ's. Oh, hallelujah. What assurance. So don't you see that we don't owe this old do-it-yourself life one red cent? There's nothing in it for us, nothing at all. The best thing to do is give it a decent burial and get on with your new life. God's Spirit beckons. There are things to do and places to go. This resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, "What's next, Papa?" God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. We know who he is, and we know who we are in Christ Jesus. We're father and children. Remember, God doesn't have grandchildren. He has children. So we're father and children, and we know we're going to get what's coming to us. Oh, good things coming to us. You know how I know? God's a good God. He is a good God, and he has an unbelievable inheritance for us. We go through exactly what Christ goes through. If we go through the hard times with him, then we're certainly going to go through the good times with him. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. So, as I was saying last week, we were talking about answers to our prayers, and I did that on last Monday, last Tuesday, because when you pray something, I want you to expect an answer. I really do. I want you not to just throw up a prayer and hope it happens, but I want you to know that as you're relying on the word that you're speaking out of your mouth, God will bring that answer. It's just like if you throw a bunch of change into a collection plate at your church without really praying over it. Thank you, Father God. This will go for goodness. This will go to a thing that is going to be beneficial for the body of Jesus Christ. So never doubt that you have the answer. After you pray in faith according to God's word, never permit a picture of failure to remain in your mind. Once you've prayed and asked God for something, never doubt that you have the answer. If doubts persist, what do? You rebuke them. Bind those spirits of unbelief and doubt and fear. Those are the trio of the enemy. And loose the powerful spirits of faith and truth into your life. I do that. I do that consistently because those thoughts come swirling through my mind and I just cast them down. You must be in the word and keep your mind on the word that God has given to you to bring those requests that you made into reality. Again, in Hebrews 10, verse 35 is a great verse to hold you steady while your answer is being manifested. I cast not away my confidence, for it has a great reward. For I have need of endurance. Oh, don't we love that word, endurance, so that when I have done the will of God, I will receive what was promised. Darren prayed that prayer until God filled those empty, cavernous gas wells in Rock Springs, Wyoming. Can anything good come out of Rock Springs? I'm sorry if you're listening from Rock Springs. Yes, Rock Springs is a beautiful little town. So Darren used Hebrews 10:35 to keep him steady, to keep him assured and in faith that God would manifest what he was asking God to do. And God actually gave him the idea to fill empty gas tanks and underground, rusted, and God did that. Oh, I mean, the money just poured in after God began to fill those tanks. So Romans 8 verse 31 says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? Amen. While I was waiting for the Word Power booklets to be stapled at your bindery a few weeks ago, I came across a quote on their break room wall. They're such a fun company, and I love them. Keep your thoughts positive because your thoughts become your words. Keep your words positive because your words become your behavior. Keep your behavior positive because your behavior becomes your habits. Keep your habits positive because your habits become your values. Keep your values positive because your values become your destiny. I'm going to say that again because this is so important. Folks, what your thoughts result in is words, and what your words result in are habits. What your habits result in are values. Are you thinking negatively all the time, every day, or are you thinking positively that God's going to bring it to pass? So here it is again. Keep your thoughts positive because your thoughts become your words. Keep your words positive because your words become your behavior. Keep your behavior positive because your behavior becomes your habits. See, if you don't consistently brush your teeth at night and wash your face at night, it doesn't become a habit. But after, I think Darren was saying in the power pack, if you've got a power pack, you keep up that scripture. And by 40 days, you're going to have that so memorized, you won't have to look back at the verse again. So keep your behavior positive because your behavior becomes your habits. Keep your habits positive because your habits become your values. That's what you value in life. Keep your values positive because your values become your destiny. Oh, so good. As I read this quotation, I realized that Darren had written the same thing in our Stepping into Freedom manual several years back. Words have planted thoughts, and thoughts have pictures, and pictures result in attitudes, and attitudes become feelings, and feelings become habits, and habits result in actions. So we don't plant those negative thoughts in our life. We cast them out. Make sure that what your thoughts are resulting in good behavior and godly actions. I've told you this before, that right above my kitchen sink in my home, I have a saying that I got from Loreto Chapel in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Faith isn't believing that God can. It's knowing he will. Faith isn't believing, oh yeah, God can do anything. Oh, really? Faith isn't believing that God can. Do you know he's going to do it? It's knowing he will. God has so many promises for you, and all you need to do is ask and believe and receive in Jesus' name. To receive answers in Jesus' name, you must eradicate every image, suggestion, vision, and all other thoughts that do not contribute to your faith. You have to stay positive in your thinking, and it will result in your answer. Again, Hebrews 10:35, I cast not away my confidence in the Lord, for it has a great reward. And guard your mind. Oh, that is so important. Your mind is a fortress, either for truth or for lies. And we don't want lies to inhabit that mind. Against every evil thought that comes into your mind to try to make you doubt God's word, make sure that you guard your mind and do away with these mountains in your life, the doubt, the fear, the unbelief. It's going to cast you into a phases of doubt and unbelief that God will answer your prayers. I love this song that John sings. It's a wonderful song called the Mountain Song. I want you to listen.
Settle down and really get to know you. the past, the things that will not last, and all the doubt that's weighed so heavy on my mind. Wasn't it you who said that mountains could be moved? They could be cast into the sea.
God is so able to move that mountain out of your life. Remember, friend, and I'm going to continue this tomorrow. Guard your mind against every evil thought that comes into that mind to try to make you doubt God's word. He is there to answer your prayers. I want you to know that. We're going to talk more about that tomorrow. But I want you to know that God is for you. He is not against you. When you rely on God and trust Him, He will bring everything to pass in your life. He will. I know it takes time sometimes, and every once in a while it's instant, but most of the time it takes a little endurance that Hebrews 10:36 is talking about. Oh, God bless you and keep you and take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom Ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.